You're good? Still awake? Hey, wasn't that great worship? Really appreciated the team there. I speak in a lot of churches, and sometimes the worship is good, and sometimes it's not so good, you know? But that drew me into the presence of God, and that's what we're here for, eh? It's kind of like coming home for me coming out here this morning, because I play quite a bit of golf. I play at the Waiuku Golf Club, right? So my cousin and I normally come out on a Friday afternoon and play 9 holes. And just love it down here. I'm a counties boy at heart, all right? I used to play rugby for Manurewa, and I remember playing lots of games, and they were great contests against Waiuku. So fond memories. My name is Ewan Cameron, right? You don't get much more Scottish than Ewan Cameron, right? But my parents played a cruel trick on me when I was born, and they gave me the middle name of Patrick. So I'm Ewan Paddy Cameron. My grandfather was Scottish. My grandmother was Irish. Wonderful lady. 102 years old she was when she passed away. Had a great impact on my life personally. I have 4 daughters. Pray for me. No, they're all growing up and left home. Kind of left home, eh? They never really leave home, do they? But they have blessed me with 5 grandchildren. How many here have got grandchildren? Put your hand up if you're grand. Holy heck! I'm amazed. 3/4 of the congregation. I love my grandkids. I do. I love having them for the day, and then filling them up with sugar, and then giving them back to mum and dad to deal with the aftermath. Yeah, it's good fun. Kind of feel like I'm getting a little bit of my own back. Right. So, here we go. Right, can you put your hand up if you know who Open Doors are or what we do? Oh, yeah, quite a few. Yeah. Right, to you unbelievers, there will be an altar call at the end. First and foremost, we are a Christian charity, and our mandate is to serve the persecuted and strengthen the church. And we do that by partnering with local churches like yourselves and individuals, and just bringing awareness to what's going on overseas. Obviously, raising financial support. We're a Christian charity. And last but not least, prayer. We pray a lot, because sometimes that's all we can do, because the needs are so far away. Open Doors' mission statement is to help people follow Jesus all over the world, no matter the cost. That is the key. Right, that gentleman in the V-dub there is Brother Andrew, and he started smuggling Bibles into Eastern Europe in 1955. He answered the call of God on his life. And he drove from Amsterdam and Holland across to Eastern Europe. Now, back in those days, Eastern Europe were communist countries. They were anti-God. They were anti-the-Bible. And Brother Andrew has some amazing testimonies of how God protected him when he went backwards and forwards into Eastern Europe. He wrote a book called God Smuggler. Anyone read that book? That's amazing. I'm amazed. As I said, I've spoken in a lot of churches. I always ask that question, and it amazes me the number of people that have read that. It sold over 11 million copies, that book, which for a Christian book is quite significant. Now, Brother Andrew passed away in 2022 at the ripe old age of 94. But what a legacy he's left behind. Today, Open Doors are represented in the 70 most dangerous countries in the world to be a Christian. What do we do? Good question. We still supply Bibles. Last year, we delivered 1.8 million Bibles to persecuted believers around the world. We provide discipleship, pastoral and theological training in those countries. We provide practical support, food, shelter, medicine, things that we take for granted. When you're a Christian in a country where you're being persecuted, you are often at the bottom of the food chain. So we stand in the gap for those Christians. And finally, and what I really, really love about Open Doors is the fact that we don't go into these countries all guns blazing and say, hey, we've got the answers, because quite frankly, we don't. But we work with teams and individuals on the ground that tell us where and what the needs are. Every year, Open Doors puts out what we call the World Watch List, and it highlights the 50 most dangerous countries in the world to be a Christian. There's the top 10 up there. North Korea has been number one for 24 out of the last 25 years, and I think will continue to be number one. In 2022, though, another country made number one. The country's still in the top 10. Does anyone want to have a guess at which country that was? No. No. Afghanistan. Thank you. Afghanistan. You remember in August of 2021, the Taliban went into Afghanistan. And basically what happened then, most of the Christians either left the country or they were martyred. We estimate there are no more than 10,000 believers left in Afghanistan. And they know what will happen to them if they're caught. You don't get a second chance with the Taliban. Can I be totally honest with you here this morning? Yeah! Good place to be honest, isn't it, in church? If we can't be honest in church, we're in trouble. When I started working with Open Doors nearly 4 years ago, I knew very little. In fact, I knew practically nothing about the persecuted church. And I'd been a Christian for 31 years. For me, and maybe for you, the persecuted church is kind of out of sight, and therefore it's out of mind. Plus, I never had any first-hand experience of being persecuted. Let's be honest, we're free to come to church this morning. We're free to worship God here together. We're free to pray for one another. We are free to share the gospel with our neighbors, our friends, and our families. We're not going to get arrested for that. In fact, I think the closest I've come to persecution, you can't even call it persecution really, is sharing the gospel with someone who didn't want to hear it and been laughed at, which you might be able to relate to that, which hurt my pride, but that was about all. But the more research I did, the more testimonies I read, and the more video clips I watched of persecuted Christians, the more I realized that the persecuted church is real. Not only is it real, it is alive and growing rapidly. Now, that realization really challenged my faith. The persecuted church is the fastest growing church on the planet. Think about that for a moment. The persecuted church is the fastest growing church on the planet. So more people are becoming Christians in persecuted countries than they are in countries like ours, where we're free to invite our neighbors to church, free to share the gospel. Why is that? Shouldn't it be the other way around? Shouldn't our churches be Actually, this is, I was going to say packed to the rafters. This one is this morning. Great. Not quite to the rafters, but you know what I mean? Our church, people should be knocking on our door, asking to get in. Today, 1 in 7 Christians are being persecuted globally. 1 in 7. To put a number on that, I'm a numbers person, that's over 300 million believers are suffering for their faith in Jesus Christ. In North Korea, for example, there is an estimated 300,000 believers in North Korea. Of that 300,000, 80,000 are either in prison or concentration camps. A concentration camp is somewhere where they concentrate on changing your mind. Let's bring that into a Western context for a moment. I worked out that's about 25%, right? 25% are either in prison or concentration camps. I wonder how keen you and I would have been to put our hand up for Jesus Christ and said, yep, I'm all in for you. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to serve you. If we knew we had a 25% chance of ending up in prison for a very long time. Puts a different perspective on counting the cost. So, I've said all that to ask this question. Should persecution be a surprise to us? Yeah, no? No. An emphatic no. Persecution is 100% biblical. In fact, there are stories of persecution running right through this book from Genesis to Revelation. The early church, you remember, in Acts, grew rapidly on the back of what? Of persecution. Yeah. Acts chapter 8. Persecution came in Jerusalem. All the Christians scattered to countries round about. And what did they do when they got there? Spread the gospel. Yeah. You know, Jesus himself said in John 15, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you. Not they might or they could, but they will. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. You know, when we look at Paul's life from Ephesians, in all those books, most of his time was spent in jail or being whipped within a hair's breadth of his life. And then he was martyred in Rome. But as I said before, persecution is not something that just happened way back then. The fact is, it is alive and kicking in our world today. I want us to look at a modern-day example of persecution. And we're going to watch a video in a moment. And this is Helen's story, so I'm going to let her tell it. But what I'd like you to do in this moment is put yourself in Helen's shoes and ask this question. What would I have done if this was me?
Hi, it's Helen. I'm safe now. Who can preach the gospel? The answer is simple. Anyone who is not afraid to die. I was in that shipping container for 32 months. In the heat of desert day, the walls would burn our skin. In the night, we shook from the cold. I remember the story of Paul and Silas. Like them, I began to sing. Guards try to stop me, but I keep singing and keep preaching the good news to anyone who would listen. They tried everything. They torture me with a tool meant to kill. Their goal was for me to deny my faith. Stop saying Jesus. All I could answer was, I cannot. Accept him unto death. But your prayers carried me through. I would tell the other prisoners, people are praying for us. I can feel it. The name of Jesus is medicine, and the world desperately needs it. Our brothers and sisters are still in prison. While we eat, they have no food. While we are free, they are in chains. We can do more. Keep on praying. Keep on supporting. Keep on singing. Your sister in Christ, Helen.
I've watched that video many times, but it never fails to move me. What Helen didn't tell you in the video is that when she was arrested for singing worship songs on the steps of her church. She had an 8-year-old daughter, and so she never saw her daughter for nearly 36 months. So I can only imagine what that must have been like for both of them. On the back of that video, I just want to read two verses from Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount, also known as the Beatitudes. And this is Jesus speaking. This is what he said. Blessed are you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of things about you because you are my followers. Verse 12, be happy about that, really. Be very glad. For a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. These are two very powerful and challenging verses. How can we be blessed and happy in the midst of persecution? And with all due respect, I can't answer that question. But I know someone who can. So I'm going to ask Helen, who was in the container that could not contain her, to help us understand. But first, let me define the word blessed here for you in Matthew chapter 5. It's important we understand exactly what Jesus means when he says blessed. Jesus used the term blessed in the framework of the Beatitudes to describe the inner quality of well-being and prosperity. A deep, joy-filled contentment that cannot be shaken by poverty, grief, famine, persecution, war, or any other trial or tragedy we may face in life. You know, we often think of God's blessings as being external, don't we? You know, God healed me. God blessed me financially. God blessed me relationally with a husband, a wife, a friend. What he's talking about here in Matthew is an internal blessing. So, how did Helen survive 32 months locked in a shipping container, being tortured on a regular basis. How did she come through that with her faith intact? Not only intact, but stronger for what she'd been through. What kept her going? What kept her singing her way to freedom? And the answer is, she experienced the blessing. She experienced a deep, joy-filled contentment that couldn't be shaken no matter what was thrown at her. You remember during the time in the container, she said she preached the gospel. There were 19 other people with her in that container. Can you imagine what the conditions were like? She sang, she worshipped, she prayed, and she persevered. She couldn't do that in her own strength. No way, none of us could. It had to come from a blessed assurance that's only available through a deep anchored faith in Jesus Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, Helen is an inspiration to my faith, but she challenges me. There's a boldness to her faith, even in the midst of persecution, that I have personally yet to experience. I'm just being honest. Now, don't get me wrong, I have no desire to be locked in a shipping container for 32 months or to be tortured. But you know what? I have often wondered what my response would be if something like that happened. Would my response be the same as Helen's? Would your response be the same as Helen's? I just want to share one final story, if I may. And it's about a pastor that I met on a field trip to Sri Lanka at the end of 2023. And a team of seven of us went from Open Doors, and we went to meet with pastors and leaders in that country and just to hear their stories to be able to bring them back to the church in New Zealand and Australia as well. And we'd been on the road for about 6 days, and we met some amazing pastors and leaders. And, you know, the stories we heard were inspiring. They were challenging. Anyone been to Sri Lanka? No. Okay. It's hot. The roads are not very good, and it rains a lot. But the people are beautiful. They really are. And 70% of the country are Buddhist, and about 7% are Christian. So we're coming to the end of our 7 day trip. It was a sixth night, and we're heading back to Colombo. And to be really honest with you, I just wanted to get back to the hotel, have a good night's sleep, hop on a plane, and come home. I think we traveled 1,600 kilometers in a mini van. The roads are not the best, as I said, in Sri Lanka. But we had one last stop. And it was at the house of a pastor, and his name was Pastor Naran. And I remember we got there about 7 o'clock at night. It's pouring down with rain and absolutely pelting down. I remember taking off my shoes and socks, waste of time wearing them in. And so we all got under an umbrella, and in we rushed. And we sat in the lounge of Pastor Naran's house. And he opened up by saying to us, he said, "I'm going to be very vulnerable with you tonight." And I love it when people say that, because normally when people say they're going to be vulnerable, there's some good stuff to follow. And Pastor Naran didn't disappoint. And he told us that he was a notorious criminal in Sri Lanka. And he was, in fact, he said, I'm world famous in Sri Lanka. He said, everyone in the criminal underworld knows who I am. He said, I was a drug lord. He said, I was a fraudster. And he told us that even though he had everything materially, he lacked for nothing. He said, on the inside, I was empty. His mother, who was a Christian, had been praying for him for 20 years. Shout out to the mums and dads here as well. If your kids are not following the Lord or if they drift away, keep praying. Keep them before the Lord. God is faithful. So long story short, Pastor Naren finds himself in a church building midweek. No one else there, just him. Him and God. And he said to God, if you transform sinners, like my mother says that you do, then transform me. And then he said this. He said, God, if you're real, I want to feel your love right now. And he said, in that moment, he felt literally God embrace him. And he gave his life and his heart to Jesus Christ in that moment. He said to us, I had a list of people I was going to kill, but instead I forgave them. Whew, yeah. Weren't you glad if you were on that list? He now pastors his own church, and he started a Sunday afternoon service in the prison that he used to be a guest. And he jokes, he said, all the prisoners know who I am, and they want to know what's brought about this change from criminal to pastor. And so they come along on a Sunday to hear him speak. The leading Buddhist monk in Sri Lanka has threatened to kill him if he doesn't stop having Sunday worship services. And we asked him, we said to him, how do you feel about that threat? His reply, being alive is a miracle. I don't worry about threats. That interview brought to mind a verse that I think we often quote, but I don't know how many of us really experience it. And it's found in Nehemiah 8:10, and it says this, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And that verse finally came alive to me that night, because that is what I saw in Pastor Naren's face. What Peter called in 1 Peter 1:9, glorious, inexpressible joy. Pastor Naren actually shone. I'm not kidding. He actually lit up the room. I reckon we could have turned the lights off and we'd have been fine. We'd still had light. He just glowed. There was a radiance or whatever coming off him. And it was because of his relationship with Jesus Christ. And it kind of reminded me, you know, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai carrying the two stone tablets in Exodus 34:29, we read this. Moses was on the mountain with God for 40 days and 40 nights. When he came down, he wasn't aware his face had become radiant because he'd been in the presence of God. You remember, he had to wear a veil, didn't he? They had to put a veil over his head because he shone that brightly. If I'd had a veil that night with Pastor Naren, I'd have probably done the same thing. But Pastor Naren shines because he's continually in the presence of God. And that meeting him and hearing his testimony and seeing the kind of guy that he was, it really challenged me. Because I want that joy. Who wouldn't? I want to shine for Jesus Christ. I want to radiate his love out there in the community. Because I'll tell you what, that's what this world desperately needs. The love of God. And it's possible, but it comes at a cost. And the cost is time spent in the presence of God. James 4:8 reads, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." By the way, God never moves. We're the ones that either move away from him or we move closer. The promise is if we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. You see, Jesus doesn't want a casual relationship with us. He wants an intimate relationship with us. And that's what Pastor Naren had. And he didn't even really have to open his mouth. You could just see the joy of his salvation. At the end of that meeting that night, I was asked to pray for Pastor Naren, and which I did, and we put him in the middle, and we just formed a circle around him, and I prayed for him. And when I opened my eyes when I finished praying, he was staring directly at me with a big smile on his face, and he came over to me and he gave me the biggest hug I think anyone has ever given me. He wouldn't let me go. And quite frankly, I didn't want to let him go either. Something happened in that moment. It was powerful. You know, we were from different cultures, different countries. We didn't even speak the same language. And yet in that moment, we were one in Christ. We didn't need to speak words. The hug, if you like, said it all. Open Doors serves and supports believers like Helen and Pastor Naren, who are building the church in a hostile environment. Our mission is not to stop persecution. Persecution has always existed and it always will. But we can help, support, and partner with Christians who live under persecution. We can't do everything, but we can all do something. So, I have a challenge for you this morning, Cornerstone Christian Church of Waiuku. Are you up for that? Do you like a challenge? Yeah? Yeah? You're still with me? You're still awake? Good. All right. Christians in Asia, where Pastor Naren is from, they suffer persecution. In fact, 2 out of 5 Christians in Asia suffer for their faith in Jesus Christ. So this morning, I am inviting you to partner with Open Doors and support our brothers and sisters in Asia. And what I'm asking you to do is very, very simple. I'm asking you to give one Bible to a persecuted believer in another country. Probably someone that you'll never meet this side of heaven. Who knows? You may do. That will cost you $20. That's 4 cups of coffee. Yeah? Well, 3.5 for me because I take cream with my coffee now. If you can give 2 Bibles, that's amazing. If you can give 5, that's incredible. I spoke in a church recently when a guy came up to me after I'd spoken and said, "Oh, you and I like what you had to say, and I want to give 50 Bibles. I said, "Wow, thank you. Thank you so much." I said, what was the motivation behind that? And he said, he looked at me like I had 2 heads, and he said, "I have the resource, why wouldn't I help?" And I thought, yeah, dumb question, Ewan. You know, I don't know about you, but this book literally changed my life For the better, by the way. And if you're honest, it changed your life. So why wouldn't we want to put that into the hands of a brother or sister who has neither the opportunity or the means to own one? Hey, I guarantee you one thing. They will read it and they will share it. Four ways you can give today. You're either sitting on or sitting next to this giving card. On the back is a QR code. You can go there on your phone, and it will give you the option of how many Bibles you want to give, and then just follow the instructions there. Otherwise, you can shoot that, and it should take you to the same page. We also take good old hard cash. We don't charge you for giving it to us either. It's good, eh? So you can see me afterwards. I have a table out next door. I'd love to have a cup of coffee with you afterwards. In fact, I'm dying for a cup of coffee. Come over and see me, talk to me. And if you can give that way, that would be great. The other thing I'd love you to consider is becoming a monthly donor with Open Doors. Our organisation, our charity, is built on the back of monthly donors. They're faithful. We have monthly donors that have been with us close to 50 years. Incredible. And I might only be speaking to one or two people here this morning, but you may have the gift of giving. And you may have the capacity to be able to help with larger projects. If that's you, and I'm speaking to you this morning, come and see me, because I've got a couple of projects there that you might like to take a look at. And finally, thank you. Thank you for listening. Hopefully now you now know a little bit more about Open Doors, about the kind of people that we help, like Pastor Naren and Helen. And hopefully it's given you food for thought. Hopefully there's a challenge there as well. And one thing we can all do as a church, though, we can all pray. Keep praying for your brothers and sisters that you may never meet, that are going through really hard, difficult times. Please keep praying for them. Amen? Thank you. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being here this morning as your family, Lord God, and we thank you for the freedoms that we have in this country, the freedom to gather here this morning, to pray, to enjoy what you've given us, Father. We thank you for our salvation in Jesus Christ. And Father, this morning we just thank you for our family overseas, Lord, who are meeting under much more difficult circumstances. And we lift them up this morning, Father, and we pray your boldness, your wisdom, and your courage over them, Lord, as they seek to honor you as we do, but under the fear and threat of persecution. Lord, may the gospel continue to be preached in those countries. And may multitudes come to a saving faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you this morning once again. We praise your holy name. I pray a blessing upon Cornerstone Christian Church in Waiuku, Father, and over the community of Waiuku, as we prayed in the prayer earlier, Father, that we would continue to be salt and light in our community. Lord, that we would be bold in our witness for Jesus Christ. And Lord, that we would show the love of the Father that so many people are missing out on and just strongly desire, Lord, but really don't know what they're looking for, Lord. May we be those that share the gift that we've been given, Lord. Pass it on to others. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.